Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Wednesdays with Willa. I am your host, Willa White, and you are listening to Lilydale Radio. So as our topic today, we have Becoming a Spiritualist, and my guest today is Emmy Chetkin, President of the Church of the Living Spirit here in Lilydale, New York. Hi, Emmy.
Good morning, Willa, and good morning to all of you. Thank you for inviting me.
We're so glad that you're here, because I know people have been really eager to to tune into the show and learn about spiritualism. And as I was mentioning a little bit ago, Emmy has a lot of family stories. Her family is deeply entrenched in spiritualism, and we'll share a bit about that. And it's going to be a great show. If you're wanting to listen in, you can go to the blogtalkradio.com/Lilydale Radio site. That's a listen-only feature. Or you can tune in every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. to my show here on my Facebook page, Willa White Medium. So those are ways to find me. Oh, also my website is willawhite.com. So you're already getting compliments about your outfit, Emmy.
Oh.
They love your heart.
Oh, and it's heart. There's a story about that, too.
Yes. And so today is our topic, Becoming a Spiritualist. If you want to call in today and you have a question about spiritualist philosophy or becoming a spiritualist, something related to our topic, you can call in, and the guest call-in number is 818-739-8818. Again, 818-739-8818. And I certainly like it when people can join in our conversation, but we'll have a lot to share. So Emmy, as I said, is the president of the Church of the Living Spirit, which is one of the spiritualist churches here in Lilydale.
Mm-hmm. And also the largest independent spiritualist church in the country, if not probably in the world.
Yes. So yeah, as far as membership, spiritualist membership goes, and it certainly is a beacon of light.
Well, that was the idea.
Yes, yes. And I know you're one of the founding members of the church. And when was the church begun? It was in the 80s?
Let me give a little background. Willa is talking about my family so entrenched in spiritualism, but I myself was not.
Mm-hmm.
I was entrenched in my grandmother. I just loved my grandmother so very much.
And Emmy's grandmother was a medium here in Lilydale.
Yes, she was a trumpet medium,
mm-hmm.
and she could do trumpet outside in the yard, and she did the ectoplasm,
yes.
and she did just about everything. A lot of that she did not do here. She did down in Pennsylvania at Silver Bell, was
mm-hmm.
another camp. But anyway, growing up, I knew, of course, that my grandmother was a spiritualist, and I did have playmates, you know, from the other world and whatnot, and all of that. And I think I grew up at a different time, because so often I hear people say that as they grew up as a spiritualist, they received a lot of negative input. People, you know, would make fun of them or criticize them. But my experience was not that. It was just the opposite. And I knew from the beginning that what my grandmother was doing was very important. I would hear people whisper even as I walked by, and what I didn't really care, they'd say, "That's Mrs. O'Hara's granddaughter," as if that was my claim to fame. And in school, I went to the Catholic school down here in Fredonia, and in school, I could see that the nuns, when my grandmother came to school, you know, back then nuns wore habits, and they would just be fluttering, "Mrs. O'Hara is here, Mrs. O'Hara is here." And she would come to get me. I don't know if they knew where she was taking me, but she would take me over to Westfield to a place to get American Beauty Sundays. I just loved it. But anyway, I saw the attention that the nuns gave her, and there was a one nun I just loved so much. Her name was Sister Macrina, and one day she said to me, "You know, Emmeline, you're a very, very blessed little girl. Your grandmother is a saint." To a Catholic child, that was like, whoa! My grandmother is a saint. How can that be?
She's playing in the big leagues.
Yeah, she's in the big leagues. And whenever I went to my grandmother's house, I lived next door to her in Frionia. She was in Dr. Erig's office. Was her.
Oh, okay. That's where she was.
And those apartments weren't there.
Okay.
And mm-hmm. Yeah, so I would always want to be over there. Well, she had the most interesting. Now, remember, I was deeply Catholic. Oh, and I am just very spiritual in that area. Yeah, I just love God and love Jesus. I love them all.
Yeah.
In fact, growing up in an Italian town, I was so certain that Teresa of Avila was Italian. What else would she be? It wasn't until many, many, many
but
years later when I had a huge vision, and I couldn't believe it. When I looked it up, I said, dear God, she's Spanish. But anyway.
She's still of the Latin language.
Yes. So anyway, I loved being around my grandmother. She had the most fascinating, fascinating friends. They wore clothing that was very interesting. And the entire tribe, the Native Americans, would come to the yard there. And that's when she did the trumpet and whatnot outside. I never bothered to attend any of that. I was too busy having fun. She had a lot of fruit trees, and I was always up in a tree eating something in a barn. And she had pigs and horses.
You were busy being a child.
I was busy being a child.
As you should be.
Yeah. And so that's what it was like. So here I was, on the one hand, I loved the mysticism of Catholicism. I just loved it, and I still do. And on the other hand, I have my grandmother and spiritualism. And let me tell you, spiritualism was very exciting and very colorful. And as the years went on, I went more towards the spiritualism just because it was so much fun. Not seriously. I just meant I thought about it.
Yes.
Didn't really have anything to do with it. And then one day, you know where Simon lives now?
Yes.
So, before Simon. So this is in Key West, and I'm in my late 20s, and friends and I heard that there was a woman in town. She was going to be doing regressions, and we thought, oh, that would be fun. And so we all signed up, and I went in, and she had this, like a recliner. So I'm in the recliner, and I was gone. And I could hear her voice way in the distance saying, where are you? What are you doing? So I said to her, well, I'm in Amsterdam. And
you were astral traveling.
Yeah. And yeah. I said, it has to be, it just feels like, she kept asking questions. And I could hear her like she was way down a tunnel somewhere. And I said, well, it looks like middle to end of the 1600s. And she says, oh, you must be a Calvinist. And just dead silence. I thought, a Calvinist? I said, no, I'm not a Calvinist. She said, well, where do you go to church? I said, I don't go to church. You must go to church. She said, I want you to walk down the street and take me to the church. So I saw myself walking down the street. And when I got to the church, I took my shawl and put it over my face. And I said, I don't go to church. I am Jewish. This woman yells at me. Which she said, that's impossible. There are no Jews in Amsterdam. And I said, Spinoza is here. At that minute, my grandmother from the spirit world came. And you know, they say you can't feel spirit. You can feel spirit touch you.
Oh, yeah.
And she took my hand and just gently, and then I don't remember the rest of it till I was in the car going home.
Mm-hmm.
And on the way home, I was thinking, you know, my husband and I, we had a furniture store, and he played the piano. And I remember thinking, Spinoza, it sounds like a piano. So when I got home, I looked it up, and here he was, this incredible, the philosopher of philosophers in Amsterdam,
mm-hmm.
in that time.
Right.
So then, I must say, I got a little more serious.
Right. It was kind of a bit more proof for you.
Well, it wasn't
about
proof.
Connecting.
It wasn't proof, because I never doubted for one minute anything that my grandmother did. I just
knew.
I didn't care.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't uppermost in my mind.
Sure.
And so there I am. I'm starting to study Spinoza. And then I bring my husband up here to Lilydale. And he used to always say, I can't believe anyone as intelligent as you could believe this baloney.
Oh!
He got a wake-up call, don't worry. So I...
He had his come up and...
Yes, he did. And, you know, converts are the worst.
Oh, yeah.
So, anyway, we're walking around Lilydale, and I'm showing him all my little childhood places that I like to play. And as we pass the auditorium, you can see that the lights are on and people are filing in. And in those days, I don't know what, I didn't know who this medium was. I hadn't been here in ages. I didn't know any of the mediums anyway.
Right.
But he said, let's go in there. I said, I didn't want him to make fun, you know. So I said, no, you don't want to do that. I want to show you over here where I would always read. No, look, let's go in. And I kept saying no. And he says, it's only a dollar. I said, I don't care what it is. I don't want to go in there.
You're really nervous.
Yeah, because I was afraid he would.
Sure, you don't want it ridiculed.
So in we go. It's so full that we have to walk all the way across the back to find a seat. And I'm praying, dear God, do not let this medium call on my husband. Please, do not. We no sooner she says, you, sir. Now, my husband's father was in the spirit world, and his mother was alive. And his father had sold shoes all his life. And she says, you, sir, I have your father here. He said, he wasn't rude. He said, well, I imagine that it could be possible. And she said, he's here, and he doesn't talk very much. But she said, he must have had something to do with the shoe business because the entire auditorium is full of shoes. And I looked over at my husband, who was a very confident and educated man, turned white as a sheet. You know, because he's thinking,
yeah.
How does she know that?
How does she know that?
And she said, he said, and my husband would always say to me, how I wish my father could see me now. And this is when I would always say, he does see you.
Yes, they do like to
so
visit.
So she
people.
Says to him, your father said to tell you that he does see you. And that's a fine pair of shoes you're wearing now. Because he was pretty successful.
Yes, yes.
Well, he was just...
Jaw was on the floor.
Right. Jaw was on the floor for sure. And then she said, that's the only message that I have from spirit, but now I'm going to go psychic because I myself, medium, am curious. And she said, I see you in a big city. And back then, newspapers came out more than once a day. She said, you get a newspaper, you glance, boom, 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 you throw it in the next trash can. She said, are you in real estate? He started to laugh. He said, no, I'm a gambler. And I'm checking the scores.
And so
he would check them more than once a day. Well, anyway, I said to him, then it was over. She went on to somebody else. And I said, do you want to leave? You know, he said, are you kidding? So we stayed.
He knew a good thing when he had it there.
And then what happened? This is a good one. The medium from the stage screams out at the top of her lungs, Roland! Very, very loud. And a woman up front starts crying and says, it's my husband. He was just... So we stayed to the end. We get outside, and he said, I want to do that one day. And he said, and where's the bookstore?
Wow.
Well, the bookstore is right across the
room.
So needless to say, we went to the bookstore, and that was that. So then from that day on, he was interested.
And this is a common refrain, a common story of people who come to Lilydale.
They get what they came for.
They, you know, there's evidence of their people in spirit around them, and especially at the message services or when they come for a reading. And I think that helps them to know that life continues on and how important that is, that love connection.
Of course it is. It's very important. And that's why we have to encourage people to go to the stump, to go to the, and we're doing something at the church now. Called Spirit Sundays, where we are gearing it towards people who have never been.
Right, right.
So that they can come and get a reading for a lot less money.
And they also do mini readings. There's the Medium Sunday, which is the
second Sunday of every month.
And there's a lunch in that day
as well.
But
that attracts already people.
Yeah.
I was trying to attract...
Sure.
We wanted to attract them.
And I think that's wonderful. You know, Emmy has... How long have you been the president now?
Well, a couple times.
Well, this time around.
10 years.
Has it been 10 years?
Nine.
You know, you've had various involvements with the church over the years, and wasn't it in the 80s that you first formed the Church of Living Spirit?
What happened was I was sitting over here. I started to tell you, I was sitting on Susan Simon's porch, but at that time belonged to the Kaoris, Ernie and Susan, and we were just chatting and having fun.
Right.
And all of a sudden, everything dropped away, and there was silence and nothing. There was nothing, and I was in this space, and I saw a church. And then that broke.
Right.
And it's as if you get downloaded. When you get something like that, it isn't if you're going to think about it or you're going to argue it. No, you know, and you don't even feel any fear, nothing. And at that time, it was a rather terrible thing, but I just never felt any of that.
But it was an inspiration space, a divine hunch that you were supposed to move forward.
It was more than
that.
A hunch. It was a vision where there was nothing but that church staring at me. Well, I was not much of a church person, even though I was very spiritual. And I thought to myself, dear God, I'm going to start a church. It took me a while, about a year, of thinking how to do this, because it took some time.
Sure, yeah. And then spiritual says a rule, tend not to go in for organized religion.
Trying
to get an organized spiritualist is hard.
Yes.
On that level.
Yeah, the early pioneers of spiritualism, they were sort of divided. Parts wanted to be organized, and other parts did not.
You know, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, who wrote The History of Spiritualism, I wanted to mention this to people. He talks about how spiritualists had difficulty getting organized. But at one point, they had over a million spiritualists that were card-carrying spiritualists.
That's Joyce LeJudice's phrase.
And so he talks about how that all came to be. If anybody's looking for knowledge about what's gone before, because we are resting on the founder's shoulders, you know, we stand on their shoulders. You can refer to the History of Spiritualism written by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. He's the one who wrote the Sherlock Holmes stories, and he was a big-time spiritualist.
And very metaphysical.
Yes, and he has wonderful stories of the different physical mediums. You know, Emmy was just talking about her grandmother who did the trumpet and ectoplasm and things like that, and she's a physical medium.
Right.
Yes.
So, Arthur Conan Doyle and also the pioneers, they were very divided about that.
Of course.
They didn't like organization because they felt that the minute you organize, you get my church against your church.
Right.
You get power plays. You get all kinds of things.
But, you know, there has to be a place for people who of like mind to gather.
Well, they did gather.
And so I think that's what's so wonderful about spiritualism and about different spiritualist churches that have formed, that they give people an opportunity to go, oh, okay, it's all right that I've had spirit experiences, and that is part of understanding my soul and how it interacts with other people. And, you know, one of the principles, if you're ever looking into spiritualist church principles, I'm just going to reference the ones from the Church of the Living Spirit. Well, one of them is that we believe that communication between all planes of existence is reality, and that we affirm the innate gifts of mediumship and healing as expressions of God's love. And I think, you know, all the principles are important.
All of the principles are important. I think the most important one is that we recognize that the individual has a divine right to seek the truth within their own heart.
Mm-hmm.
And the pioneers of spiritualism also, and much as I may love the principles, they tell us to hold all belief open to restatement as thought and investigation reveal. Not, they say new truth, but I think of it more as an expanded truth. The seed of everything that ever was or ever will be already is.
Yeah.
And we just really, we keep repeating the same thing over and over.
Well, it's an unfoldment process that happens in a person, and it's good if we don't just take things at face value. You know, I think that's one of the other things with spiritualism, when it comes to spirit contact, that you can have a direct communication experience with God. You can have a direct communication experience with your loved ones in spirit. There's no middleman.
There is no middleman.
It doesn't
and God
have to
is
be.
All there is.
I talk myself out of a job all the time. that ultimately you are your own best medium if you want to put the effort and the intention toward that, the right practice, the right intention.
Well,
toward
I think
that.
If spirit wants to speak to you, they're going to speak to you regardless.
But you have to allow. To
yeah.
some extent, people have to allow and be open and ready for that. And so I think it's wonderful that we have spiritualist churches that support these concepts. You know, and the other part about spiritualism that is so wonderful is that we move out of the idea of I believe into I know, right?
Uh-huh.
And that's
and
where the personal experience
and I,
comes
that's
from.
One of the things I don't like here. It says I believe so many times. In the beginning, spiritualists would say I support the philosophy of spiritualism. I
yes.
support, not I believe. Just and very, you know, that's connected to the fact that the pioneers wanted you to hold all belief open to restatement.
Yes.
And you can, not to contradict you, you will, because you can do all of
mm-hmm.
it is good. But you can have gatherings without having organization.
You can.
The spiritualism was much
easier.
Larger. No, they knew where the speakers were.
To be taken seriously and to be allowed to practice in those ways. I think it's, you know, in this day and age, to have the protection of religion is important. And I certainly think that, you know, helping other people understand that a lot of other religions that are out there, we're helping to give evidence to what they believe in.
Right, and they did that, though, before there were ever churches. They
sure.
had huge meetings.
Spiritualism is ancient.
And
for
they
sure.
had it in the late 1800s
yes.
also. They were meeting right down here in Leona.
Yes, they were.
So people who of like minds tend to come together.
Yes, that's part of spiritual natural law, the law of attraction.
Right.
That comes into play, definitely. So I wanted to mention real quickly, because in case people are wanting to know some of the basis of spiritualism. Oh, wrong book. I've got to get into H. Gordon Burroughs' book. He wrote this in 1962. It's Becoming a Spiritualist is the title of the book. And I love that he summarizes this. He's got different chapters in there about spiritualism. But he says, spiritualism teaches personal responsibility, that man is a soul animated by spirit, occupying a body with a mind to serve him, not that he has a soul, that death is not cessation of life, but a change of condition, a truth which removes the fear of death, that those who have passed over are not sleeping, but are awake and conscious, that man, as a soul, will progress to the heights through the ages to come. It teaches further that the spark of divinity dwells within each individual, that the development of poise, receptivity, and sympathy, together with the manifestation of love and kindness in one's daily life, leads to true success, and that the application of these truths in one's daily life, thus spiritualism become the religion of self-culture. Isn't that beautiful?
It is beautiful.
I think it's a nice little summary of things, that idea of personal responsibility.
Well, personal responsibility, that's the one thing that a lot of people find difficulty with.
Yes. Yes, they do.
In fact, just the other day, I said, but that can't be. And we'd say that you create your own reality towards being responsible, and they'll tell you, but what about a baby? They can't. And you have to remind these people that baby might be 6 months old, but the spirit within that child is eternal.
In the spark of the divine.
Always been there. Mm-hmm. And we are one. We are many, and yet we manifest as one. My son likes to say that we're one person having many different experiences.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely we are. And that it's an opportunity for God to have a little fun in the God's concept. But as spiritualists, you know, there are different terminologies. We don't always adhere to the term God. A lot of times we'll use infinite intelligence. That's a really popular one.
Great spirit,
term.
The all that is.
Mm-hmm.
There is
mm-hmm.
only God. In fact, that's why when Spinoza happened in that regression, and I began to think about Spinoza, I realized that he said that we are all one substance.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what we are, one substance. And in truth, a lot of people call this physical life the Maya, because it's hard to believe and hard to wrap your head around it, but the soul does not suffer. The soul does not suffer.
No, no.
And we use the body as a way to learn, to grow, to have fun mainly.
Yeah, it's
because
fun
we are already
we
spirit.
The yeah.
spirit does not need unfolding. We need to wake up.
Well,
we are asleep.
I think we do progress.
Well, spirit doesn't have to progress. It already is.
Well, it's fun to learn.
It's fun, for us. Yeah,
yes.
Here on the earth plane, yes. And I love the word unfoldment much more than develop.
Mm.
Because to see this, to develop does not mean.
Yes.
But to unfold means it already is.
And it's like that thousand-petal lotus.
Yes.
That opens up.
Mm-hmm.
And as we peel back, it's part of the experience. And it happens in the blink of an eye, too.
And you were talking about books. Another good book to read is Radical Spirits, if you're interested in the history of spiritualism here in this country, by Anne Browdy.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very, very good book.
Very interesting, and it also ties into the women's suffrage movement.
Right.
You know, spiritualists, many of them were part of the women's suffrage movement, and we even had Susan B. Anthony come and speak on our auditorium
right.
platform, so
right.
That was a big thing, and this... this area where Lilydale is just such a hotbed. You know, those Victorians, I'll tell you, they seem to congregate in this location.
Well, those people, the abolitionists and the abolitionists and the women wanting the vote, they came to us.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is why I said earlier, spiritualists, long before they became organized, had huge, huge halls filled, brimming with people coming to watch. There were a lot of mediums at that time who spoke on philosophy in trance on the platform. And so people were thronging to spiritualism. That was really, they call it the heyday of spiritualism.
Yes, yes.
And the abolitionists, they said, could we join you? Because we had so many people. And the same with the women's movement. They wanted to come where we were because we had such crowds. So this is a beautiful opportunity for them to have a ready-made audience to hear their views.
True.
And you know that it was a spiritualist, Victoria Woodhull, who first spoke to Congress, the first woman to speak to Congress.
Oh, yes.
And she ran for president.
Mm-hmm. That was the lady.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So maybe she didn't get any votes, but I really liked Victoria. If you ever want to read about Victoria Woodhull, there's probably 30 books about Victoria Woodhull. And one of her quotes is, "Who would dare to open the luminous portals of the future with the rusty keys of the past?"
Ah. It's important to know history
so
we don't repeat it. But
we do repeat it.
It's important to have, you know, because that's an art because of archetypes and things like that.
That's because of Ecclesiastes, too. It says that there's nothing new under the sun. Anything that ever was or ever will be already is. But we must drink from the river Lethe or something because we forget. And the idea that we, all of us, you, us, you and I, that's why the Buddha said, "I am awake."
Yeah.
You must awaken from this dream of just repeating the same scenarios over and over. Different face, different, but the same scenario.
Yeah.
So we need to wake up. And one of the ways, in fact, I'm sitting in the house of Willa's house now, but it was Bill Colvin's house. And Bill, when my husband and I first came back here, he always talked about meditation, and it would drive us crazy. We weren't really interested. Like I told you, I was not very interested in much. And he talked about meditation so much. And it wasn't until many years later that I realized how important. I could not live without meditation.
Yeah. It helps you to have just a breather, a respite, and a time of listening to God without extraneous.
The God within. You are the God. When meditation is really a letting go. It's a letting go. To wake you up. You let go of all this, because I try to sometimes picture us with carrying all our belief systems and everything all around everywhere we go. When we meditate, it's a time to let that go. You know what I mean? And every time, try to think the first time you're born. The first thing you do is breathe. You get a breath, right?
Mm.
You get a breath. And that is spirit coming into your physicalness to keep you physical for this sojourn.
Yes.
And so I think of the breath as a prayer.
Absolutely.
And every time you take in a breath, you receive that spirit again, a renewed inspiration,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think of them as mini births.
Yes.
And every time you breathe out, a few things are happening. One is that you are trusting that that next breath is going to return. You know, you're going to get that next breath. Now, maybe the time will come when you don't, and for sure that time will come, but to let go is the trust that you have.
Mm.
And also the breathing out is the letting go of that, as spiritualists love to say, which no longer serves your highest good.
Yes.
We want to serve our highest good, and our highest good is to wake up,
mm-hmm.
and then you will be able to move from this dimension. In my Father's house are many mansions,
as
the Master Jesus says,
mm-hmm.
and there are so many dimensions, and as long as we stay stuck on this, as Ecclesiastes tells us, the same, and it's very much like the Buddhists. We'll just keep repeating the same things, maybe once in a while making one little tiny opening, and that's what I like, is those aha moments,
mm-hmm.
when you get them.
Mm-hmm.
And you know when you get them, believe me, nobody
yes,
has to
do.
Say to you, "Oh, that was an aha." They are aha moments. And you want that stillness. Nothing can be created except in stillness. In stillness, the world is transformed. That's your world, my world. Your world can be transformed in stillness. And the way you get there, thank you, Bill Colvin, is from meditation.
Yes, it's definitely a gateway.
And don't think too much.
Yes, right. People go into that analytical space and obsess, And it's just like a VCR loop in their brain over and over and over again.
And they've been doing it for billions of years. That is really judgment. And I think I do believe that that's why the Bible says judge not. And I can tell you, do we have time?
I want to mention real quick that if anybody's just tuning in, you're listening to Wednesdays with Willa. I'm Willa White, your host, and I have as my guest Emmy Chatkin, who's the president of the Church of the Living Spirit. If you want to call in and ask a question or have a positive comment regarding our topic today, which is becoming a spiritualist, so if it's about spiritualism or about church or things like that, you can call in 818-739-8818. Again, 818-739-8818. what did you want to mention?
I wanted to talk about judgment.
Okay.
And why the Bible says judge not. And how I came to understand that in a greater, expanded way. As we said, leave every belief open to restatement.
Yes.
Because it can expand. Well, I was watching television many years ago, and you might be aware of who Raymond Moody is. He was the first one to begin to really talk about near-death experiences. And he had a panel. In fact, from that panel, three of those people came here to Lilydale, and then some of them stayed in my house, so I got to know them better. But there was one lady, a sweet lady. She never wrote a book. She never got famous, but I loved her. And she said, I'm a church lady. And she said, I feel like I'm a really good person. And she said, in my near-death experience, she said, all my good deeds were up on a board. They were all there. She said, only those ones that I did without thinking lit up. I thought, what did she say? Oh, my goodness. There was no DVR then. I had to write it down. Only those things I did without thinking. What is thinking but judging? Oh, should I help that woman across the street or should I get to the grocery store? Should I do this? Should I do that? Those are all judgments.
Mm.
I totally believe lack of judgment is a good thing, but you really have to work hard at coming to the trust of it. And then trusting that you are always on the right path. God has created all of this for us. Our struggles, our miseries come from resisting life, thinking that we can do it better than what God has planned for us.
Yes.
So I got a very good confirmation of that. A few years later, my husband and I, who turned into the spiritualist, and I mustn't forget to tell you something else. But anyway, we're in Egypt, and there's a wonderful, some of you out there who have been to Egypt may know a man named Champion. He's just wonderful. And he joined our group, and he chatted with us and walked with us for a long time. And he told us about his childhood. He was abandoned, and he lived on the Giza Plateau there where the pyramids were. And he did tricks for the tourists, and he made money that way. But then he said, I got to be a young man, and I went out to do young man things. He said, and they were not all good.
Right.
In fact, he said they were really pretty bad. And I said, but look at you now. I said, you are so pure. I feel like I could put my hand through him. He just was amazing. I can still feel his hand today when he held our hand for a prayer. And so I said, how did you get to be this from that? And this I didn't forget. In fact, I put it on a pen of mine. It says, he said, don't hurry, and don't think too much. I remembered immediately the woman, those things she did without thinking. And then I see them not thinking everywhere. Lionel Richie says, don't think about it, just let it come.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look up anything about thinking, you will see that. I wanted to go back to that story because I
forgot. I think it's a lovely story, and I frequently will tell people there's a difference between judgment and discernment.
Mm-hmm.
Judgment has a lot of that bias associated with it. Discernment is witnessing the spiritual truth of something and living from that place. And I think that's important.
Cora Richmond called that perception.
Perception, yes. I see we have a caller, so I want to see what our caller has a question about regarding becoming a spiritualist. So I'm going to take caller number ending 1311. Again, caller ending 1311. Let me see. I have to do the buttons here. Hello, and welcome to the show. Hello? Hello, can you hear me?
Hello?
Hello, hi. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Oh, hi. My name is Donna. I'm calling from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Wonderful. And And what's your question today about spiritualism or becoming a spiritualist?
I wasn't listening to the beginning. I was just going to ask you a general question.
If it's about spiritualism, we'll do our best to answer a question about spiritualism. We're not doing readings today, just to make that clear to you.
Oh, okay. I was wondering, do you see anybody around me that it was a relationship question?
Well, that's not something that we do, and we're not doing readings today. Our topic today is about becoming a spiritualist, and so that's what the focus of today's show is about.
Oh, okay. I'll continue listening. Thank you.
Great.
And she can go back and start from the beginning.
And you can go back and listen to the whole show and start from the beginning if you wish, so you can kind of catch up on what our discussion has been. But thank you for calling in. Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I wanted to relate a cute story that happened that, you remember I told you in the auditorium that my husband, that woman said, Roland.
9 minutes.
Pardon me?
9 minutes left.
Oh, that's funny.
I know.
So he said, well, did you hear her yell, Roland? I want to do that one day. But we were busy, and I forgot what he said, and I didn't even think about it. Well, my husband passed in 2009, and the following year, I came back to Lilydale, and we had a wonderful medium, Aloma. And I was chairing, and Aloma's sitting there waiting to be introduced, and I start to introduce her. Now, Aloma is very traditional and very polite and not like a noisy, I guess people think I was noisy, but she's not like that. Everything is proper.
Yes, yes.
She's always dressed to perfection. She's just beautiful. I'm I'm introducing her, and all of a sudden, from the back of me, I feel her practically push me. She runs up to the podium, and she screams, and this is so unlike, Caitlin! I had to hold back my laughter. She went on, I sat down right away, and she went on, Caitlin is my granddaughter.
Yes, yes.
And she was calling out, Caitlin. And I started laughing. I thought, well, he got to do it.
Yeah.
He always wanted to do it, so he got to do it.
That's hilarious. That was his way of coming through.
And it was so unlike her. If it had been someone else, it just struck me. Yeah, he always wanted to do that.
That's not her style, typically.
No.
It's wonderful that you know, in Emmy's family, you know, she does have the medium who's the grandmother and has those experiences. But a lot of your children are living in Lilydale and had things to do with Lilydale, and something that they have that belief system in place.
Since they're small.
Yeah.
I never, when I say that I wasn't interested, I don't mean I didn't believe or accept or affirm or know. I just meant that it was not the focus of my life.
Yes.
Whereas all my friends here, that was like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
I just, maybe sometimes when it's around you all the time, you don't. But as I got older, of course, I told you I did begin to do more of that.
Yes. And so, you know, we do have people, I can see people are commenting. We do have people here in Lilydale who have been here, multi-generational families. And they have done amazing things to promote spiritualism,
help
Lilydale along, and Emmy's certainly one of them. And I do appreciate you very much and what you do for our church.
Well, when I said that I had the vision and then I got together the church, and then when I was ready, I never felt any fear, because when you're in that, when you've been given that, it just doesn't arise, does it? But people began coming to me. And one of the first was Patricia Price. She came across the park, and she said, I hear that you're going to start a church. She says, I want to join. And then they began coming.
Yes.
So there was only 15 people at our first church service.
Yes.
But it's grown to be the largest in, I think, in the country.
In the country, for sure. And maybe, I would think, maybe even the world as well. And I think that, for those of you who live in a place, because there are people who are tuning in from all over the world to Wednesdays with Willa on Lilydale Radio and whatnot, if you don't have it,
create it in your own house.
If you build it, they will come.
Yes.
And, you know, sometimes it'll just start with a home circle, and build from there when you find people of like mind and you start to explore things. You know, there's only so much you could do in books. You need to put that into practice. And a lot of people will come here, especially in the summertime, because Lilydale has an amazing summer program of workshops, and you can see mediums in action at the outdoor services.
Starting at the end of June and going through till about September 2nd, I think.
Yes, yes, that's for the 2018 summer season. So if anybody's interested, you can go onto the LilydaleAssembly.org website, and you can take a look at the workshops that are offered, the daily events, the weekly events, and you can start making plans. I know the hotel is starting to take reservations. And so things book up fast. They really do in between the hotels, the guest houses, and the workshops and whatnot. So if you're interested in that, I would strongly suggest that you start making taking a look and making your plans now for that. During the off season, the churches do have Sunday services, and they do run occasionally workshops, and they have other development circle opportunities for people in the off season. And Church Living Spirit has been especially good about having and doing that over the years.
Yeah, we do that, and every church service has a lecture,
mm-hmm.
a healing portion, hands-on healing.
Yes.
And also a message service. And we get people come to church. They come from Canada.
Yes.
And from the other
side of the way.
They come far. we have a wonderful classes all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
yeah.
But not in the summer. We can't do that in the summer.
Yeah, in the summer, Lilydale has its own things going on. Now, the churches do share the Sunday services. They rotate
in
that
the
for the summertime.
We rotate.
Mm-hmm. Between three
Sunday.
Churches.
Yeah.
No, responsibility.
Mainly between two. I don't ever see the third one.
Oh, okay. So it's just between the two.
Yeah, but
main.
When you go online, you'll see all that.
Mm-hmm.
I did want to tell you, you said the history of my family here. My great aunt, I guess it would be, was the first one to come. And
of your family,
uh-huh.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And she was friends with Skidmore's.
Okay, Marion Skidmore Library.
Yeah. And she helped Marion Skidmore with the finances of that library, and her
yes.
picture, my aunt's picture, is there in the assembly hall.
Lovely.
The assembly hall is where we have all the pictures of the
pioneers. Oh, I love
the
those. I love their support.
And so then when my grandmother, when my grandfather, who I never knew, passed away, she began to come up here also.
Yeah.
But she was, you know, there are some mediums who are born that way, and they're doing that from the beginning, and then there are other mediums who unfold
yes.
through intention. And there are some who never bother to become mediums, but they are very, very spiritual, and they might do other things.
Right.
And everything that we do can be a praise of God.
Absolutely.
That's
because
why
we do embody prayer.
Yes. In other words, just mediumship and healing alone are not gifts of God. Everything in our life is a gift of God. Do you dance? Do you paint? Are you a wonderful cook? Do you garden? Are you a wonderful mother? All of these things are gifts.
Yeah, bringing the best of yourself to
forward
yes.
in praise of the Creator.
Absolutely. I completely agree. Completely agree. I would be remiss if I didn't mention that it's been 170 years ago, March 31st, 1848, is what is considered the birth of modern spiritualism. Even though spiritualism is ancient, there was a lot that happened around that time with Victorian. We've talked a little bit about that. And you live right next to the where the Fox Cottage
Fox
was.
Fox Cottage burned down, 1957.
Yes.
That's where the peddler with his remains were found
yeah.
in the basement.
So we're coming up on 107 years ago that happened. It's incredible how time flies by, and we have these benchmarks in time that become important. 90 seconds.
What?
I know. 90. See how time flies by? Yeah, when you're having
we have
fun.
More to say.
I know we do. I want to mention there are other radio shows that you can tune into for Lilydale Radio. There are other hosts on Tuesday evenings at 8 p.m. We have Colleen Vanderzijn, who does Embracing Your Essence. Wednesdays at 8 p.m., John White, no relation, Journey of Light. And then Thursday at 10 a.m. is Celeste Elliott, who does Wake Up to Spirit. And we're right. Do the shows, and so you have lots of opportunities. I know Church of Living Spirit also does Facebook Live for the lecture portion
right.
of the
every
church
Sunday
service.
At the church service at
so,
10:30. We only do the lecture.
Yes, which is all, yeah, that's all you should do. And so people can tune into that, and if you're needing an extra dose of spiritualism.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful place to get it. I know a lot of people enjoy tuning in to
that. Oh, they tell
that.
Us all the time. And
yeah.
they also, you can go to livingspiritlilydale.org. That's our newsletter. And there's nice, well, the president's message is in there and all the information about the church.
That's her. President's message.
And all the information about the church, the classes that we're doing.
Yes. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in. And we'll see you next week, Wednesday, April 4th at 10 a.m. for same channel, same time. We really appreciate everybody tuning in today. And thank you so much for being on the show today, Emmy. It's wonderful.
Time does fly fast.
It sure does. All right, everyone.
Thank you for having me here.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thanks for coming and talking about becoming a spiritualist.
Yeah. I was born half spiritualist, I guess.
Half spiritualist.
And then became one. With...
You expanded.
I expanded. Exactly.
Bye, everyone. Thank you.
It does go by fast.
It does go by fast.